In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Our friend Lazarus had died in order to find new life. This had rocked our world and rocked the entire world around us. The authorities were in a fervor. They wanted to figure out how to kill Jesus, and they also started to turn their eyes to Lazarus. He was a living witness of the new life that Jesus had brought, that death had been defeated, that nothing could stand in the way of Jesus and his path and way of life. As our journey continued, we started to see the pattern that was set in Lazarus unfold all around us. Death leading to life. And we saw it in the most unlikely place next. We were gathered for dinner at the home of Lazarus. His two sisters were there, Mary and Martha. Now, their whole family carried quite a bit of shame that most of us didn't talk about. Mary, it was known among us, was a prostitute. We tried to ignore this fact, and Jesus had brought scandal and shame upon us by befriending this family. And as we gathered for dinner, a death happened that day. Mary came to Jesus with a year's worth of this super fancy perfumed oil that she used for her job. We're talking $30,000 worth of oil that was the bedrock of her livelihood. She came to Jesus and she brought $30,000 worth of oil and started pouring it all over Jesus' feet. She took down her hair, which was a scandalous, embarrassing thing for a woman to do in front of an unmarried man that wasn't her husband, and she wiped his feet clean with her hair. Judas, one of us, but we were all thinking of it, stood horrified watching $30,000 worth of oil just pouring into the ground, lost forever. It was gone. And Judas cried out, "Lord, this could have been sold and given to the poor or something like that. What are you doing? Rebuke her." Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Do you not understand? She saved this oil for my burial. And my burial is happening right before your eyes." And as we saw later, not just Jesus' burial, Mary was buried that day. Her old life, dead, gone. She poured out her old life onto the feet of Jesus, and she was raised to a new life that day. She did not try to hold on to her old profession. And even more scandalous and embarrassing to us, she didn't try to hold on to the money. $30,000 worth of oil. She could have sold that and moved it into another, more honorable profession. She could have given it to the poor and received praise from Judas and praise from the authorities of our world who loved a good act of charity. Oh, they loved them. No, she poured that oil onto the feet of Jesus, and it was gone forever. Mary lost her life that day, but she found a new life at the feet of Jesus. We were embarrassed and scandalized by this. And then the next day, we continued to be embarrassed and scandalized by Jesus. As we headed into Jerusalem, Jesus decided to find a little donkey. And he was going to ride on this little donkey into town. It was one of the most embarrassing sights I had ever seen. Imagine a grown man sitting on a tiny little baby donkey, not really old enough or big enough to carry a full-grown man. And there it limped along, carrying this man into town. Now, people who rode into town, the dignitaries, the authorities of our world, they rode in on their big, giant war horses. This was embarrassing. Scandalized. A grown man riding on a small donkey into town. Now, Jesus didn't have much dignity at this point in his ministry, but his dignity was starting to be buried that day. We could tell that Jesus' plan as he rode into Jerusalem was not to seek the applause of the crowds. It was not to seek the approval of the authorities. Jesus wasn't going to be an impressive sight as he went into Jerusalem. And it wasn't going to get any better for us. That day, Jesus was accepting what he called true glory. And he told us that day, he said, it is time for glory to come. And in our minds, we thought that meant the applause, the praise of the rulers and authorities of our world, the applause of the crowds. No, we learned Jesus had a very different sense of glory. Jesus taught us that day, if you want to hold on to your life in this world, you're going to destroy yourself. But if you're willing to lose it all, if you're willing to die to everything that you have in this world, only then can you find true life. He told us it's like a seed. Imagine a little seed that if we were to try to preserve a seed forever in its current state, what good is that? He said a seed must be planted in the ground. It must undergo significant change and rebirth. He said only when that seed goes into the ground and dies, only then can new birth, new life spring forth out of the ground. Our lives, he said, were like seeds. If we tried to keep them in that little state as they were, it would be pointless, a waste. But if we let go of our lives and threw them into the fertile soil of God's world, we would die, yes. We would lose everything we knew, yes. But new life would come. And we would bear much fruit. We had seen it. We had seen it with Mary. As she poured that oil all over Jesus' feet, she was dying that day. She was not holding on to the husk and kernel of her life as it was. She was ready for transformation. New life, new birth. And as she let go, she was born again. And we saw it with Jesus, and we would see it more in the coming week. That Jesus was letting go of everything that the world applauded. The power, he wanted nothing to do with it. The riches, melt them away. Applause, status, the glory of men. Jesus didn't care about human opinion. And as he was an embarrassment and a scandal riding into town, he was letting go of his life, a seed planted, trusting that God would work change, radical transformation into new life, life as it had always been meant to be. And Jesus told us later that day, he said, the reason people refuse to walk with me, refuse to trust in me, is because of this. they care more about the opinions of other people than they care about the opinion of God. That's it, he told us. This is why I am so lonely on this journey. People are scared to be embarrassed, scandalized before the eyes, the watching, gazing eyes of the world. And so they walk away from me. True glory for Jesus meant embarrassment before the world. But that was true glory in the eyes of God. And so it was with that one opinion, the opinion of God, that Jesus walked into Jerusalem. And when he left Jerusalem, the world would be changed forever. Human opinion. Who of us can get away from it? It's literally everywhere, spoken, mostly unspoken. We can all, I'm certain, identify with being in a room, in a situation, feeling. You felt it, right? Felt the opinions of others. You weren't necessarily certain exactly what it was, but you could feel it. The energy, a palpable energy. People looking, people thinking, people judging, people making a determination for themselves. I'm not sure there's much more in our world that has a powerful grip on us like human opinion. Think about your own decisions, your own course in life, and think about human opinion behind it. The opinion of your parents and what they think or thought your life should look like. The opinion of your peers, of how to talk, how to dress, how to live, a lifestyle to choose. The opinion of the larger media world, of wanting to fit in with the current styles. It's not just clothes. The styles of our world, to fit in with those opinions. It's literally everywhere in the background of our lives, and I believe it is fundamentally one of the most powerful guiding forces in your decisions is what other people think. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, your peers, your fellow co-workers, the people you want to be like in your business, the celebrities of our world, their opinions are controlling you, controlling me, more than we would like to admit. And so Jesus challenges us today as he rides into Jerusalem to rethink true glory. Is human opinion truly the glory that we should be chasing? And if we get it, does it really satisfy in any meaningful way? Or is there a different kind of glory, a different kind of opinion that should be influencing, guiding, shifting, and pushing our lives in a better, healthier, more loving direction? Jesus' answer is a resounding yes. Your life that has been shaped by human opinion needs to die. Let go of it. like Mary, that life isn't going to be held against you. Just move forward. Pour out that old life on Jesus' feet. Let that old life of human opinion melt away into the ground, lost forever. And be reborn at the feet of Jesus like Mary. A new life. A new person seeking one kind of glory. The glory of God. His opinion. And you will be free. We will be free to finally live as children of God, no longer pushed and swayed by the opinions of our own hearts, the opinions of our family members, the opinions of our peers, co-workers, whoever. We will be a free people ready to serve God and serve each other. Free of human opinion. Can you imagine it? I can't imagine a life much better than not being self-conscious, not caring what anyone really thinks except for my Father. And Jesus tells us good news. His opinion is the only one that matters. And his opinion is the only one that leads us to life. May we seek it today. Amen.